Well, thank you very much. Let's take our Bibles and we're going to turn to the book of Joshua, if you will. The book of Joshua. I guess I've kind of talked this subject before. I was in my private reading. I just came across something and something kind of jumped out at me. You ever have that happen? I know I've read it before and so forth, but every once in a while, it's just like you read the Bible and a verse jumps out or a word jumps out. It's like it has neon lights. You know, just kind of, here it is, here it is, here it is. And so it's spoke to my heart, and I think it would be a blessing to us. And it'll teach us a lesson on some things here. In Joshua chapter 7, and you know the story. We're going to go back and work with the story a little bit. But I want you to see, I want to focus on just verses 11, 12, and 13, as when we read this scripture. We'll go back and cover it, and we'll talk about the story. But I want to read just the verses, chapter 7, verse 11, 12, and 13. Now, a little bit of background. Of course, Israelites were in Egypt. Now, I feel like I need just a little bit more on my monitor now, just a little bit. It was so nice. It was actually pretty good there. Didn't feel I was fighting my voice a little too much. Give me just a little bit. And on that one? There we go. Okay. All right. And now that might be a little too hot. Just tweak, just a little bit. Okay. The Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years. They were in bondage. God led them out by Moses. And, of course, then they looked into the promised land. Everything looked really good. But they said, there's a bunch of giants over there. We can't handle that. And so they said, no, thank you. We'll just stay out here. And they did for 40 years. And they wandered around for 40 years. Now, 40 years is over. Moses has passed away. And it's time to go in and take the promised land. Now, Joshua was the one that God had called to lead them into the promised land. Moses drew them out. Joshua leads them in. By the way, Joshua is a Hebrew word for Jesus, God our Savior. The Lord is our Savior. And a little sideline there. And they go in, and most of you know the old story of Joshua hit the battle of Jericho, Jericho. You know that story. And that first battle, a wonderful battle, they went in there and they just walked around the place and they shouted and all the walls fell down. God said, this is the way you're going to do it. He said, well, that makes no sense. How could that happen? It's called God. All right, take God out of the picture, then a lot of this stuff doesn't make any sense. You put God back in the picture, there's no reason why any of this is unimaginable. Anything's possible with God. So they had a great battle there. Now, there was something that happened during that battle. God had told them, don't touch this stuff. He said, this first battle, everything belongs to the Lord. And there was one guy by the name of Achan. And he was just that, a real pain in the, but anyway, real ache in the neck. And he decided he liked some of the stuff. And it caused a problem. And they went to this next little town, a little town called Ai, and didn't do so well. And there was a reason for that. Look at verse 11. God speaking here says, Israel hath sinned. Joshua chapter 7, verse 11. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. Why? For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Now, that's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. We're going to have a word of prayer. And I have a main title. I have a secondary title. I didn't know which one I wanted to use. I'm calling this putting a price on the promises of God. Putting a price on the promises of God. My little secondary title was Trading Away the Blessings of God. Everyone look at it. It'll work. Let's pray, and we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for teaching us some things here this morning. This is some tough things this morning. But really only tough if we want to hang on to something you told us that we weren't supposed to have in the first place. So, Lord, though you may reveal some things, I know I pray every week that you're going to reveal to each of us what we need to understand and what you specifically needs to apply to us. So, Lord, I ask you to do that. And because that's the case, I really think we may bring some things across to our mind that I might not even mention, but that you are speaking to individuals about something that we're hanging on to that we need to get rid of. So, Lord, I pray that you bless us. We need you. We give you the praise for it. In Christ's name, amen. Let me go back to those three verses and kind of walk real quick with you. It says, Israel, verse 11, Israel hath sinned, missed the mark. That's what the word means, missed the mark. And they have also transgressed my covenant. The idea there is they've trespassed in the areas we have no business being. We're doing some things. He has a little path for us to do. We've transgressed the covenant. In other words, we've gotten off track. We're over here in the briars. We're not supposed to be. We've crossed, you could say this, we've crossed the line with God. Now, you say, well, there shouldn't even be a line there. It's not that big a deal. It doesn't matter. God gets to draw the lines. We've crossed the line with God. He says, which I have commanded them. Now, we've crossed the line which he's commanded. That means it's disobedience. Now, parents, we love to tell our kids to obey. But the fact is, we have a Heavenly Father whom we are supposed to obey. And as a loving Heavenly Father, when we don't obey, he does. Of course, he's not doing it out of retribution or retaliation or out of vengeance. He's doing it out of restoration. He's trying to teach us. So he chastens whom he loves. He said, I'm not going to let you get away with this because you're going to cause yourself trouble down the road. He said, watch, he says, for I have even taken, they have even taken of the accursed thing. Now that accursed thing is kind of strange, but it means this. I said, don't touch it. There's going to be consequences. And they touched it. It's kind of like you tell your kids, and you've seen it. In fact, I think it was Silas, no bigger than he is. Was it Christmas time at and Silas? We were at our house. He just turned two, April 26th. Yeah, just turned two. So I'm talking about last Christmas. And he was going up to something, you know, and kids are curious. I understand that. And we have, and he went up to touch us something and said, No. No. It's amazing. It's like if you can't have it, that's what you want. God said, there's something here I don't want you to touch. Keep your fingers off of it. It's not yours. But you know what, just like Silas, well, I'm not going to hurt anything. It's right there. We don't always understand. I mean, you know how it is. It's a piece of china. And they're going to pick it up. I'm not going to hurt anything. It'll bounce just like all my other toys, right? You know, maybe not. God says, there's something here you don't understand. Don't touch it. I don't want you to have anything to do with it. And says they have also stolen and dissembled. That word dissembled means they lied about it. They attempted to hide it from God as if you can do such a thing. And it says they've even put it among their own stuff. Bible calls that regarding iniquity. Well, I just. And little things that we do and we know we're not supposed to, and not necessarily just taking, but things that we do and we just keep it in our lives. Verse 12 says, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. In other words, they took of something they were told not to take because God said to stay away from it if they wanted to stay close to Him. Now listen to me. He says, stay away from it if you want to stay close to me. So the people chose to stay close to the accursed thing. So God is now staying away from them because God is staying away from the cursed thing. And if you're with it, if you're with the accursed thing, then God will stay away from you. He says, neither will I be with you anymore, says in verse 12. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. So in other words, if you want God back, you have to get rid of the accursed thing. Verse 13, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. In other words, set yourself apart unto God, which means that by default, you must separate yourself from the accursed thing. Because it's the cursed thing that's separating you from your God. God wants nothing to do with the cursed thing and anything with it. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the cursed thing from among you. Now keep your Bible open. God is teaching us a principle. There are promises for us as well as there were here for the Israelites. And so in this account, we're going to see how God works. Now, we are not working for salvation. You can't work for salvation. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. For there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How? God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. We trust what Jesus Christ did on the cross as full payment for our sin, plus nothing, minus nothing. So you now have a new life. You can say you have a new life. Now what you do with this new life is now also your choice. See, salvation is a gift of God, but the temporal blessings, the blessings of God during this life until we go home to glory, are contingent on our faithfulness to the Lord. We cannot be considered faithful to God if we're not obeying God. James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Death is really separation from God. Then it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. He says, don't mess up. He says, listen, there's things out there you're going to see. You're drawn away of your own lust and enticed, and you look at it, and you go ahead and you do it. That's the sin. And sure enough, that sin is going to bring forth death one way or another, sometime or another. It's going to hurt you. He says, don't do that. Why? Look, the very next verse says here in James 1, it says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. He says, we see things out here that God said, don't touch. Don't do it. Don't get near it. Stay as far away from it as you can. But we see it. And we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And when sin, and when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's all done, brings forth death. Now he says, that's separation from God. But then he finishes that verse, says, but wait a minute, you don't want death, because every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. If you're separated from God, you're separated from his blessing. I'm just telling you. You're now out there on your own. God's saying, I'm giving you a new life. Just like he did with the Israelites coming out of the promised land, coming out of bondage, going into the promised land, said, I'm going to give you a new life. I'm giving you a new life. Now, I want you to enjoy it. But you're going to have to do it in obedience to me, because you're not going to get the blessings if you don't do it that way. I'm giving you a new life. I'm giving you a new start. If you do this the way I'm telling you to do it, you're going to have blessings coming after you. But if you do this your way, or worse, the world's way, you're going to have trouble all over again. Oh, you're going to heaven, but the trip between now and then is going to be pretty tough. Let me give you some points here. Number one, God has made some great promises. Now, we're going to stay in the context of our story here, but there's a lot of promises in the Bible. God has made some great and precious promises. For all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's a great promise. Giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness, charity. If these be in you and abound, then make you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty good. In fact, he talked a little earlier about the great and precious promises. God has made some promises. Now go back just a few pages to Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1. Put it in the story, in the context here. Keep your Bible. I'm going to read a lot of scripture here this morning, so stay close to me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, to where the going down of the sun shall be your host. That's the Mediterranean Sea there. There shall not any man be able, watch, look at this. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong, of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. He says there's great and precious promises. Let me go back, let's jump just back a few more pages to Deuteronomy 28, just a couple more pages. Just back toward the beginning, just a few pages. Deuteronomy chapter 28, look at verse 1. I want you to see what God said he promises. He said, when you go into the promised land, he says, this is what I've got for you. Watch this. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. He says, now if you'll do what I tell you to do, you guys are going to be sitting pretty. In fact, everybody in the world is going to know God's got his hand on you. Now watch this, verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken. Now that's interesting. The word blessing there means to kneel before. It's going to be, in fact, verse 3 says, blessed shalt thou be. Well, where's the blessing coming from? From God. It's as if God is going to choose to offer himself to be a blessing to us. It's almost like God's getting down on his knees, not to worship us, but to do what's ever necessary to bless us. The idea that if we will simply obey God with our whole heart, it will seem, look what it says here. It says, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee, watch, and overtake thee. If thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The idea is like you're just going along in life, and all of a sudden, I mean, these blessings just kind of start coming out of nowhere. Well, look, And they say, well, I wish God would bless me. I wish God would do something in my life. You know, if he started doing something in my life, I think I'd serve him. He says, why don't you just decide to serve me with all your heart, take my word on it, and I'll tell you what, blessings are going to come down. You didn't see them coming. They're going to overtake you. They're going to come around. They're going to hit you from behind. He said, where'd that come from? He says, God's going to take care of you. Now watch. Verse 2. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy storehouse, your bank account. Yeah. So he says, verse 3, he said, blessed are going to be in the city. I've done where, no matter where you are, whether you're in the city or you end up in the country, whatever it is, God's going to make it work. Whatever you produce, it's going to be good. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. In other words, wherever you go. God's not bound by boundaries. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before you in seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse. Now that's not, they didn't have that, that didn't work for them the other day when they were at Ai. They were the ones that ran. Verse 10, it's going to be so obvious, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. After a while, people say, well, why is it that you always seem that you're kind of like a cat? No matter what you do, you land on your feet. It's not me. It's the Lord. Verse 13, well, I like this one. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, that thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. God has some great promises. There he is. All we've got to do is obey him. So that's number two. God requires obedience. God requires obedience. And we just read it. If you don't go aside, go out here and do your own thing. And what he asks is really not that difficult. In fact, what he asks is probably best for us. But sometimes because he asks, we want to do our own thing. You know what? We're like a one-year-old. What do you mean I can't do that? Looks fine to me. I think we're just fine. I think I just will. How many times it seems like the two-year-old decides going to take over the house? And we do the same thing. God says, now you obey me. All right, watch this. Go to Deuteronomy 32, just a couple pages back. Verse 46, Deuteronomy 32, verse 46. And he said this, look what he says. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day. Just go ahead and say, this is where I'm going to put my heart. I am going to follow what God said, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. He said, well, you know, I've kind of thought about I might do some of them. He said, no. Don't take this lightly. This is life, folks. And I tell you what, when you start facing your enemies, and either they're going to run or we're going to run, I like it when they run and not me. Because if I run, they may get me in the back and I'm gone. We want to face the opposition of this world, but we're doing it in our own power simply because we're a bunch of two-year-olds who don't want to obey our God. We want to do our own thing. We've got it all figured out. So God has made great promise. Number two, God requires obedience. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." It's pretty clear. So God has made great promises. Number two, God requires obedience. Number three, disobedience cancels the promises. Disobedience cancels the promises. Now, go back to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 15. The first 14 verses said, "Blessed you'll be in the city, and blessed you'll be here, and blessed you'll be this, and this will be blessed, and this will be good. That'll be good, that'll be good." Verse 15, Deuteronomy 28, 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Well, that one blindsided me. Didn't see that one coming. And there may not be any direct connection between what we're doing and what blindsides us. May not be any direct connection, except for the fact is we disobeyed and now we're on our own, left to the disposal of the world and what the world does. We run our house like the world, then we're going to get what the world gives us. We're going to raise our kids in the world, we're going to get kids who think the world knows what it's talking about. Look at this, verse 16. "Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field." Well, you know what? I just need to go someplace else and get a new start, and it'll be okay this time. Nope, the curse goes with you because we're holding on to something we shouldn't be holding on to. We're doing something we shouldn't be doing. It wasn't where we are, because God will bless you in the city or God will bless you in the country. That doesn't make any difference. By the way, do the will of God. The what of the will of God is a whole lot more important than the where of the will of God. Some people say, "Well, one of these days I want to do this here." Well, just do right. God will get you there, or he won't get you there, but if it's where you're supposed to be, he'll get you there one of these days. You do right where you are, and God will let you do right someplace else. He said, verse 17, "Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store." It seems like he can't keep any money. Always losing money. Just don't have enough money to go around. Verse 18, "Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep." I can't seem to come out with, I work hard all day and don't really come up with anything. See, it seems like I've accomplished very little. In fact, to be honest with you, my kids are a mess too. That's what he's saying. Fruit of my womb, what is that? That's, you know, not the fruit of the loom, that's the underwear. But the fruit of my womb. My kids. Now, you know, I always say this. There's always the Cain and Abel thing going on. Cain and Abel were the first boys born. One was a murderer. One was a prophet of God. They both came from the same parents, lived in the same house. Can't blame the kids next door. Can't blame the public schools. Can't blame the video games. Can't blame anything. And Cain decided he was going to do his own thing. So sometimes there's not a thing you could have done, no matter what you did, that was right. Some kids are just going to bow their back up against God. And I know that. It breaks your heart, but it's the truth. But on average, if you do right by your kids, your kids will end up doing right by God. Verse 19, "Cursed shalt be then when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out." I don't care where you are, it's nothing's going to work out right. Man, I can tell you how many times I've seen people have a life like that. And you say, "Well, here's the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is this curse." No, the curse is not the problem. The curse is a result of the problem. The curse came because we're holding on to some sin and no one else may know it but you and the Lord God Himself. And we're not getting where we should be because we're holding on to the cursed thing. And God keeps Himself at a distance from the cursed thing. So if you're hanging on to the cursed thing and He's keeping a distance from it, He's keeping a distance from you. You're on your own. You can go back and read all that. In fact, it says that they'll overtake you. It'll seem like these curses are hunting you down. They find you. You ever seen some people? It just seems like trouble finds them. You ever seen some people like that? Trouble, it's like they're hunting them down and finds them. They may look great on the outside most of the way. In fact, we're going to find out in Israel, there was only one guy who took something he wasn't supposed to, and it hurt the whole bunch. Now, that's a picture of the people, or a picture of the Christian life. In other words, everything else may be going on right well. So, well, I'm doing this right, and I'm doing this right, and I'm doing this right, and I'm doing this right. What's my problem? There's one little sin that you know about. In fact, you kind of hid it in your house, hid it in your heart. You know it's wrong. You know you shouldn't be doing it, but you're doing it anyway. And that's all it takes to get the curses instead of the blessings. Talk about a hard life. Look at verse 28:58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. And by the way, every time we disobey, you know what we're saying? God will get over it. And if He doesn't get over it, what's He going to do? You know what you're saying? I don't fear God. I'm going to do as I please. Verse 59. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. Now that doesn't mean good like we use. In other words, it's going to be a wonder. I don't understand it. I never see anything like this. This is terrible. I mean, I didn't even imagine anything like this. The Lord will make thy plagues wonderful and the plagues of thy seed. Your kids are going to have problems. Even great plagues and of long continuance. I just can't get rid of them. Sore sickness and of long continuance. Moreover, He will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague that is not written in the book of this law, even the ones I haven't mentioned here, they're going to get you. Verse 62, and ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for a multitude, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. That's all it was. We wonder why life is so hard, and why we're living without the blessings of God, and we're only left with the curses. That word curse there is an old word. It comes from an old word meaning to execrate. That means this. Rather than to consecrate, it is to execrate, to despise, to think little of, to no longer be devoted to. When someone consecrates himself to God, he's devoted to God. God is going to execrate here. He's no longer devoted to you. That's what it's saying. He's not out to get you. He's just going to let sin get you. Let the world get you. He lifts His hand of blessing. It's to treat something as if it means nothing to you. To not support, to not endorse. And yet I told you the blessing, the idea of the blessing was as to kneel down. God was going to bless us. God's going to say, I'm going to say, this is God. God loves you so much. And He would say, you know, I'll bless you. I'll get down on my knees and help you if that's what I've got to do to bless you. That's what God says. But we're not going to obey Him. He says, I'm sorry, you're on your own. You got to hold the cursed thing. I can't go near the cursed thing. You're stuck with it. You're on your own. And we went from having a God Almighty who created all the universe there watching out for us moment by moment, minute by minute, second by second, to having him saying, well, do your own thing, but I'm not in it. Sin is the accursed thing. Now, I don't know what sin it is. Maybe several. Maybe just the thing I want to do my own self. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. I don't know. But sin is the accursed thing. 1 John 3:2 says this, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In other words, gets rid of the cursed things. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. That's why Jesus came to get rid of the sin. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. If you're sticking around him, you won't be sinning. Whosoever sinneth hath not, but whosoever hath sinned, I'm sorry, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, yes, I'm just, bunch of 2-year-olds, it's all of us. He's little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as Jesus is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You don't go around living like that. For this seed remaineth in him. But he cannot sin because he's born of God. And in this the children of God are manifest as children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth it not his brother. Now, he's talking about somebody who's actually saved or not saved. I understand that. But the fact is, we can be saved and living as a carnal Christian. And we're wondering why we're not getting the blessing. Now, I don't want to take a lot of time on this, but I want to quickly give you the story. They went in, they conquered Jericho. They had to march the whole town, marched around the city of Jericho once every day for 7 days, seven times the seventh day. And they were supposed to shout and the walls come down, and God gave them a wonderful blessing. And they destroyed the city of Jericho, except for Rahab, which they had given a promise to, and so forth. So the next town over is Ai. The problem is, a fellow by the name of Achan saw something he shouldn't have seen. Look at Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Okay? So that's what they're supposed to do. Now, God has promised them a victory. Isn't that right? He's promised them a victory. Now, so simple obedience brings the blessing of God. You go in, it's silly to walk around that city and I'm looking down over here for a whole week. And probably what in the world is going on? We feel like idiots. Here we go. We're going to do this again tomorrow, Mommy? Yeah, we're going to do it again tomorrow, Mommy. Yeah, you're going to do it with Mommy. We're going to walk around. Well, what's this supposed to do? I don't know. God just told us to do it. And they did, and they got the victory. God promised the victory. But wait. Simple obedience brings the blessing of God. Watch. Simple disobedience brings the curse of God. Simple disobedience. What's no big deal? Simple disobedience. Look at verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. Don't touch that stuff. Have you ever used mouse or rat poison? You know, and what you do, you put something on your hands so you're not touching that stuff. It's arsenic or whatever it is in that stuff. You know, I don't want to get that stuff on me. And so you try to separate yourself away from it as much as you can and then get rid of it and you wash it off. Separate yourself from the cursed thing. He says, now, what's at Jericho is not for you. Don't touch it. It's a curse as far as you're concerned. So don't take it. Lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So that's what he said. Don't touch it. All right, look at chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah. Why is it all there? He says, I know exactly who you are. You can say, well, no one knows I've got this in my life. God knows exactly who you are, who your daddy is, who your granddaddy is, who your great-granddaddy is. Listen, he knows what the hairs on your head are. He knows everything. You're not getting away with this. Of the tribe of Judah took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Now, I'm not going to take the time here. So he sent them to Ai. He said, oh, we don't need everybody to go down. Just set a few thousand down, and we'll take this care. And the fact is, they didn't do well. They didn't do well. In fact, they ran. In fact, verse 5, and the men of Ai smote the people, about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them from before gate, even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth and said, God, what are you doing to us? Why are you doing this? And that's exactly what we do. We get ourselves, we got a little thing in our life we're hanging on to. You say, it's just a little thing. I mean, out of so much, I mean, it's just a little thing. It's just me. No one's going to know. And then when we don't have the blessing, it feels like God's curse is hunting us down. We said, God, what's the matter with you? I thought you were love. I thought you were grace. I thought you were mercy. And here it is. It's like you're hunting me down like a dirty dog. Well, if you obey and stay away from the cursed thing, you won't have any problem. But it's not that big a deal. Oh, it is. You break the law at one point, you've broken the whole law. You know, it takes a few grains of that rat poison to kill you. Doesn't take that much, but just a little bit. He said, leave it alone. Well, I have my hands in a rat poison. We're going to go home and have a sandwich. I don't think maybe you should. And so they're living accursed. They can't fight their battles. They're losing. And there's some damage. I mean, folks are dying here now. All because they held on to the cursed thing. Now I got to get done here. Got a question for you. How much are the promises of God worth to you? What have you traded away the blessings of God for? Look at verse 20. They were able, God led them right to the right guy, Achan. And by the way, there's a good chance this morning that something has come to your mind that you need to get rid of, that God's brought it to your mind this morning. And you'll say, well, that's really no big deal. And I mean, it's a normal part of society now. And it's, I just don't understand what, if God's brought that in your mind, if I were you, I'd get rid of it. But I'm just not sure it's worth, and I mean, it's not that big. Get rid of it. How much are the blessings of God worth to you? Look at verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, well, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. And I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. He saw them. Watch. Then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And he took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? You know what? That little thing that you're hanging on to, ask yourself a question. Why have I allowed this to trouble my life? Why am I letting the rest of my life be cursed and not really have the blessings of God that I could have on my life? Is it really worth it? Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. You know what, parents, husband, wife, when we hang on to an accursed thing and we lose the blessings of God, do you realize that also affects everybody else in our family? I lose the blessings of God, my finances go down the tubes. Whose else goes down? I lose the blessings of God and I end up on the street. Where are my kids going to live? So you don't go down alone. Achan's whole family was destroyed because of a suit of clothes and a retirement fund. Not necessarily bad things. But if God said, keep your grimy fingers off of it, then that's what we need to do. It may not seem like a big deal. Disobeying God is a big deal, whether it seems a big deal or not. Whatever separates you from the blessings of God is too high a price to pay. Isaiah 59 says this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any or plead for truth. They just in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. In other words, it might just simply be a lifestyle. You just lie. You just do what you want. You just go against God's word. That's what he's saying. And that might be enough. That selfishness might be enough to keep the blessings of God. What is your price? How quick are you to sell the blessings that God has promised you? For Achan, a new suit and a retirement fund was all he needed. Where in the world is he even going to wear that suit? It's a Babylonian garment. He can't walk downtown that thing. Everybody in the world's going to know where it came from. You hear? Remember the old story about the preacher? He was supposed to preach someplace on Sunday morning, and he told everybody he was going to be away, and he was out of town. And then turned out there something happened, and they canceled the service. And there he is out of town, nowhere near the church. He could have gone to another church, but he really didn't have any place he had to be. So he said, you know what, I'm going to go play golf. So he went out and played golf. And he's having a great game. This is just a story now. So Peter says to the Lord, he said, what are you going to do about this? He's supposed to be in church. He says, I'm going to give him a hole-in-one. You're going to give him a hole-in-one? What are you going to do with that? Who's he going to tell? Sometimes, have you ever wondered why people will steal famous works of art? You go down this guy's basement, there's the Mona Lisa. Where'd you get that? I thought it was supposed to be in the Louvre Museum in Paris. What are you doing with it here? I don't understand. Who were you going to sell it to? And the thing is, we do things, we think, well, I've got to have it, and it's not going to do us any good. What's your price? What are we going to do? We're wasting our lives. It was just some money and a suit. Well, what's the big deal, God? The big deal is that it was all took for him to sell the blessings of God in his life. That's all it took. A good thing can become a bad thing if we're not supposed to have it. What has God told you not to touch, but that you keep your hands off of, but you just can't? Have you been spending God's tithe? Could be. Have you been giving the affection that belongs to your spouse to someone else? I don't know what it is. What little sin are you hiding in the center of your heart? You think no one knows, but God knows exactly where it is. It doesn't even need to be seen and obvious to cause the Lord to start to let us on our own. What do you have in your life that you have traded away the promises of God for? A free time on Sunday, a little more money in the bank. I know it's time to go, but I can't leave you there. Look at Deuteronomy 30 real quick. How do you get the blessings back? Deuteronomy 30. Now, I think it's interesting the way he says it's verse number one. I know it's time to get out of here, but I don't want to leave you here. I don't want to leave you here underneath a pile of rocks with Achan. Verse 1, chapter 30. It shall come to pass, watch, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse. I think he knows us. There's times you've seen the blessings. And there's times you've seen the curse. To come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. He said, you know what? And you go back and say, you know what? I didn't really like how that worked out. Verse 2, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day. Thou and thy children with all thine heart, all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out into the outermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. The Lord thy God will bring unto thee the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, and love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Well, you know, basically he's saying, I'll let you start over, and I'll give you a fresh, clean heart. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 7. The Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecute thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the cow, and the fruit of the land. You know what it sounds like to me? He says, I'll take you back to the blessings. just go back to start doing what you were supposed to be doing from the very beginning. It doesn't get any better than that. Confess your sin and start doing what you were supposed to be doing all along, and God will allow you to pick up where you left off, or even put you under the spout where the blessings come out for the first time. If you want the blessings of God almost if you want the blessing of God, it's almost as if He is bending over backward to please you, as if He is running after you to give you a blessing, then you need to obey Him the best you know. If you want to do your own thing and not necessarily obey the Lord, you can expect God to withdraw His blessing, and you're on your own. It's going to seem like it's hunting you down. And whatever it is that you disobeyed the Lord over is the price you sold the blessings of God for. Israel got rid of the sin in the camp and thus got rid of the curse. Now, once the curse is gone, the blessings that God has promised are free to flow. They went back and took Ai later. It's your choice. You're in Deuteronomy 30, look at verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is far off. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it to unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. For the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You know, all that is to say this, don't tell me you didn't know. Don't tell me no one ever told me. We're not going to be able to stand before God and say, He'll say, why did you miss that? I got a whole warehouse full of blessings up here that I wanted to send down for you, and you never got a one of them. Well, I didn't know. No, you knew. I know you knew, because that old loudmouth preacher in Dover told you. He says, you want the blessings? I'll give it to you. Just do what God said to do. You want to stay away from the curse? Then stay away from the cursed thing. Verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I commanded this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, and thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over to Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Some of you may feel like you have a curse on you. Maybe you do. Curse is simply not having the blessings of God on you, but you're left at the disposal of the world and all its wickedness. You can get rid of the curse, but it's your choice. What is it worth to you to get rid of the curse and get back the blessings of God? Now, some of you are contemplating putting a price on the promises of God and trading away the blessings of God for a little temporary worldly pleasure or possessions or a position. You're thinking about trading it away. Listen, the promises and blessings of God are priceless. Those that are willing to sell the promises, blessings of God are foolish. Have you put a price on the promises of God and traded away His blessings? May the Lord speak to our hearts. Father, I know we're a little late again. I don't try to do that. But it's so clear, and I wanted to see it so clearly. It just doesn't make sense for us to walk away from You. It just doesn't make sense for us to try to figure this out on our own. You've given us a book. We just need to, the old song said, use our Bible for a roadmap.
help us to have the blessing. I want our folks to have the blessing. I want them to have the blessing. I don't want them to have the curse on them. May we stay away from the cursed things, things of the world that we shouldn't have. Let us not love the world. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. We want the world. We're on our own. We want the sin. We're on our own. May we seek the righteousness of Christ. And we're going to fail. But thank you, Lord, that you're quick and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. We can come back to you. Heads are bowed.